This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. My name is Will Kuntz, coming to you direct from City Hall here in St. Petersburg, Florida, joined by Ben Kirby and Kevin King. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good. How you doing?
Good. Jim Privatera is going to be joining us here momentarily. I got a letter from Evan Morey the other day.
What about?
You got a letter?
Evan Morey, director of transportation.
Yes, a guest, a former guest. Apparently, permit parking now in Old Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I live right around that main block with the tavern, and I guess we're going to do permits now. So I don't know how I feel about it.
You got like a form letter from Evan Morey.
No, it was handwritten.
That's what I thought. Kevin, did you think that? Like he sent a thank you note about his appearance on the show?
Yes, right. That's what I was expecting.
$15
I'm going to have to pay.
It's a good thing.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it because I feel like it's just going to push the traffic farther down and it's still going to be an issue.
All right. Well, I just think whatever we do is a good thing.
I know you do. You have that reputation, I've heard.
Everything's good. We have a solid guest today, our assistant chief of police, who has been with us for 2 years this month. And so Ben and I will not do our normal review of what's happening in the city and get right to it.
Okay. Jim, welcome. How are you?
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I don't know, though. Maybe I should let these guys talk for a while.
Because usually they're very talkative, but today it's just shy.
No, it's just we've never had a guest
as prestigious as this one.
I don't know about all the other guests.
I think it's just listening Christmas.
He's our first guest with a gun.
That's true. Yeah. I usually bring mine, but I didn't.
Other than Dr. Tomlin, I think.
Yeah, the deputy mayor, and then
you gotta have a well-armed deputy mayor.
Yeah, you know, she brought the guns with she had her
as her arms.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I got gotcha. Right. Healthy St. Pete guns.
That old gag. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jim, tell us about your role here with the city. What's your day to day?
So I joined the police department about 2 years ago, and I oversee investigations and the intelligence unit for the police department. My day-to-day, the cool thing about it is that there's never really a set day-to-day when you're in the investigations business. A lot of what we do is quite frankly, driven by the happenings of the night before or the week before. Obviously, we deal with the violent crime, but we also deal with a lot of day-to-day crime. And it's been neat. Chief Holloway is an old friend, somebody who I've known for probably 27, 28 years now. We worked together undercover back when he had hair and I could grow hair. And we worked undercover and did a lot together. So we have a pretty similar mindset when it comes to policing. We're both, I think, very rooted in the fact that we need the community involved. And that even in the investigations aspect, I think our detectives have done a good job over the last couple of years of adapting to some changes and to the push to get them to reach out more to the community and think outside the box to solve crime. So that's what it makes my job pretty interesting job, a pretty challenging job. Really surrounded by some unbelievable cops and particularly the detectives. They are committed to doing everything they can to first of all bring justice for the victims of crimes, but also to really make changes that have a continuing impact on the city and make this a safer place to live. So that makes my job pretty easy.
And have you been, your whole career has been in policing?
Yeah, I have been around a little bit. I started with the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office in 1986, 30 years. It's actually 30 years this week that I've been in law enforcement.
Wow, congratulations.
And I did 11 years with the Sheriff's Office, and I was a supervisor, a corporal in their Special Operations Division, their SWAT unit. And the Secret Service started talking to me during the vice presidential debates at the old Bayfront Center.
96?
And said, you ought to come work for us. So I threw my hat in the ring, and before I knew it, I was in Washington, D.C. going through training. And although it took a long time to get there, it took almost a year to get hired. So I spent 3 years assigned to the Tampa field office, including my training. And then I got one of those phone calls that every Secret Service agent dreads, where they called me on Halloween night and said, hey, we're thinking about transferring you. and thinking about it, actually it happened 2 days prior to the call. And then I ended up in Washington, D.C. So I spent the next 6 years in Washington, and spent the first three of those 6 years, 3.5 years almost, as an instructor at the Secret Service Training Center in Beltsville, Maryland. I taught control tactics, which basically translates to I got physically abused every day by agent recruits and uniform division recruits and the military and anybody else that came through there, because we taught the hand-to-hand combat. And I did that all the way up until 2005. I got a phone call from an agent that had retired in Tampa, and he said, hey, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office is looking for somebody to run their training division. You'd be perfect for that. And I am a St. Petersburg native, and the Tampa Bay area is my home. And at the time, you know, there was some indicators that the Secret Service was probably getting ready to give me another one of those phone calls, and I kept hearing Los Angeles and San Francisco. Great cities to visit. I just didn't know if I wanted to live there and drag my family to the West Coast. So I applied to be the training director at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, and Sheriff G hired me, and moved down there, and spent the better part of the next 3 years running their training division as a major. And then 2008, they'd had a lot of issues at the Hillsborough County Jail. A lot of negative headlines, a lot of stories coming out of the jail with problems. And they commissioned an independent jail review commission. And during that, I testified a lot before the commission. And then in the final press conference, when they announced their findings, I actually got pushed to the podium by the media, who asked me a lot of questions about it. Several days later, the sheriff called me in and told me he wanted me to run the jail. And so he put me in charge of the Hillsborough County jails and promoted me to a colonel. And I ran the jails for, I think it was almost 5 years. And it was probably, you know, people always ask me, what was the most exciting part of your career? Was it the Secret Service? And I got to tell you that really running the jail, about a $230 million budget, you know, I had 1,000 deputies, and then probably another, I think probably about 650 employees, either contract or civilian employees. And when you run a jail, you learn to live in an environment of the unexpected, because nothing, you know, happens the way you want it to. But it was really an eye-opener for me, too. And it really made me realize, I think the biggest thing it made me realize was how prevalent mental illness is in the criminal justice system. And so we did a lot of things to try to address that problem, and a mental health diversion program, and worked with the county on that, with some private agencies. And also really opened my eyes to the fact that we have these offenders who we send away to prison, and everybody wants them to slam the door and throw the key away. But there comes a time when they get the key out and they open the door and they send them back to society. And usually it's $100 and a bus ticket, but then I found out there's really not even $100. Sometimes it's just a bus ticket to get home. So I worked on a reentry program back then with the Commissioner of the Department of Corrections came down and spoke to me, and really made an impression on me about how we could play a role in that. So we started a reentry center, and I rededicated some staff to work with the Department of Corrections to actually go meet with ex-offenders that were coming back to Hillsborough and kind of prepare them for the reentry. I went to Jacksonville and saw the reentry program up there, and was shocked, you know, to hear these guys say, I said, you know, what's your biggest problem? I said, you know, first thing is you guys, meaning the cops, stop us and ask us for ID, and all we have is a Department of Corrections ID card, which right away
sends right, you guys. Alarm bells off, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a real eye-opener. But, you know, back in 2014, I got a tweet or something that said that this guy, Tony Holloway, might be the next police chief in the city of St. Petersburg. And I was actually in Florence, Alabama on vacation with my wife and kids, and
Florence, Alabama. Where he shows a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That's Music City up there. You know, that's Muscle Shoals. That's good music
that's
up
right.
there. That's my wife's from there, so I got to watch what I say.
That's a little
right,
bit of
deep
right.
trouble.
Jimmy Buffett country
exactly.
up there.
Exactly. So, but I texted my old friend Tony Holloway, and I said, hey, if it's true, you're the right man for that job, and you'll do great things. And he texted me back and said, I'll call you in 2 hours. So he called me exactly 2 hours later. And told me that, you know, when he settled in at St. Pete, he'd like me to think about moving over here as an assistant chief. And I told him, you settle in and then we'll talk. And so funny thing is not even three weeks later, he'd been sworn in as the chief. I think he was probably not even a week in as the chief. And then we went to the change of command ceremony at MacDill Air Force Base. It was out at the convention center, and it was assigned seating. There was probably 4,000 people there, and I came in there as a representative of the sheriff's office, and they gave you your number, and they told you where to go sit. Well, I walk over, and there's Tony and his wife, Andrea, sitting right next to me. And so we spent the day together, seated side by side.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, we had a conversation. I texted my wife, and her only response to me was, "Baby, that's a sign." You know, so that started a really meaningful conversation with Chief Holloway. We went to dinner. We talked a lot. You know, I wanted to make sure that before I came back here that we were both on the same sheet of music. And I tell you what, we're not only on the same sheet of music, but we're writing music together. And working with Assistant Chief Luke Williams and Assistant Chief Mike Kovasev to try to do great things for the city. And I think by and large people are seeing the results. We're out there in the community, and you know, the credit goes to the officers and the detectives that are doing the job, because we joke in law enforcement, there's two things cops hate: that's change and the way it is. So they've really adapted to change, and they've done some really great things, and I'm excited about 2017 for the city and for this police department.
So, Will, a little context around Chief coming here. I can't remember growing up here a time when we went outside the police department to get someone to be on command staff. We typically sort of tradition was we always promoted from within, and even Mayor Kreisman hiring Chief Holloway was sort of a departure, because we tended to hire and promote from within, and city council at the time was, are we sure we want to go outside? It takes police chiefs forever to get caught up, and the learning curve is steep, and the mayor had a lot of confidence in Tony Holloway to come in and be the chief. And then there was this, we had a departing interim police chief, Dave Decay, who had left, and there was this opportunity for someone to join as assistant chief of police, and there was talk about promoting again from within, but the mayor was fully supportive of him going outside and especially finding Jim to do the job. And again, it was a different way of doing things, which is exactly in line with sort of the mayor's philosophy and approach to this job to begin with, is let's do things a little bit different. What's served us in the past isn't going to serve us moving forward all the time. And it was a great call all around. So.
You know, I think, some people look at me, in my own profession and ask me, about moving on and loyalties and things like that. I really believe and I know, in my heart that every opportunity I've taken, whether it was Secret Service or whatever, I've always done things, number one, that I thought, bettered me as a law enforcement professional and as a person, but also gave me the opportunity to help an organization. And so my career, essentially I owe my career to the St. Petersburg Police Department in a lot of ways. I was a senior in high school, and my teacher gave me the option. I could either ride with St. Pete PD and come back and tell the class about it, or I could write a term paper. And
yeah, that's easy.
I was no Rhodes Scholar, so
you went to Northeast
option.
Right,
I went to St. Pete Catholic, and
okay.
I took the option of the ride along, and I went out and I rode, I'll never forget, it was 311 Delta was a call sign, and I rode with a St. Pete officer for 8 hours, and I was like, wow. I don't know if I want to admit this because Kevin might lash out at me. I was a journalist, but I was an aspiring journalist.
Right. I remember that.
And,
you telling me
dabbling with writing. I had actually started writing as a correspondent for the Times and the old Evening Independent, and I really thought that's the way I wanted to go in life. You know, it was be a journalist, be a writer. But that night opened my eyes. And so when Chief Holloway laid the offer out there for me, finally, said, here's what we want to do. This is what you'll do and bring you over. It was a crazy happy. I was ecstatic to come back here and to be part of, Kevin said, some out-of-the-box thinking. And I think sometimes if law enforcement has a fault, it's that we get too ingrained and too entrenched in our ways. And we live in a society where, when I started as a cop, I had a computer in my car that basically was just a two-way terminal to give me calls. Now I have a laptop in my car that has technology in it that maps me where I'm going. It provides me at a fingertip the search of statewide databases. And so law enforcement's changed, and if we have a fault, it's that sometimes management fails to change with it. So it's been great to come here and to be part of that change, but to put on a badge that says St. Petersburg, you know, because that's what really inspired me to go into law enforcement, has just been a huge thrill. And, you know, it's funny, the first morning before I ever got sworn in, I woke up at like 2 in the morning and I was wide awake, ready to go. So I put my uniform on and I went out and I drove around the city. And it was just, you know, to realize that I was going to be part of, you know, this police department in my hometown was just, you know, it just seemed surreal at the time. So it's exciting. I'm excited. This is, you know, people ask me, well, are you going to go anywhere else? Are you going to want to be a chief anywhere? You know, I'm here. I love St. Pete. I love this city. I love working as part of this team. You know, very candidly, the mayor has impressed me because I've been able to work for somebody who is fully supportive of the police department and, quite honestly, you know, gives us the room to do what we got to do and puts us in a position to make the tough decisions. I've never felt any pressure to make any decisions. And even, you know, coming from a sheriff's office, there's a lot of external forces that influence
a lot of external police influences. Hate more than anything.
Yeah. And you know, so it's been great. And, you know, when I sit down in the morning and I sit with Chief Holloway and Chief Williams and Chief Kvasov and we talk about what we're doing, it's refreshing because we really are working outside the box to keep this city safe and to grow this police department, because this city's growing and we need to grow with it.
You talked about implementing new things in the city. I know one of those things is the Park, Walk, and Talk program. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, Park, Walk, and Talk is really, to me, is common sense policing 101. It's something that Chief Holloway has really kind of made his mantra throughout his leadership, is that get out of the car, you know, walk around, talk to people. Human contact and communication are important to the success of this police department. And so Park, Walk, and Talk is really going back to our roots. I mean, cops started on foot beats. They started walking.
Yeah, they had blocks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of patrol different blocks.
I was up in New York last week, and New York still has blocks, you know. But it's important. You know, these guys have got to get out. We, you know, even my generation now have become heavily dependent on technology, where we push a button on my phone or I push a button on my computer and get all the answers. And, you know, I see my kids, they'll sit in the car and text each other instead of having a conversation. And so reigniting that human contact with the people we serve and with the citizens is important. And we've got to continuously do that. You know, when I was a supervisor at the sheriff's office on the street as a corporal, I used to tell my guys, get out of the car and play. And they'd look at me crazy. We wore long sleeves and ties back then.
Throw the football?
Yeah, you'd catch me. Yeah. You know, they'd catch me in High Point all the time with my tie off playing football in the middle of the street with the kids. And if you get the kids to talk to you, then their parents talk to you, and then a trust is built.
Yeah.
And from that trust, a lot of great things happen for law enforcement. So that's what Park, Walk, and Talk is really all about.
Yeah, that just seems like common sense. How has it affected crime in the city?
I think the numbers generally tend to prove out that this connection is working for us.
Well, tips alone.
Yeah,
I mean, tips and
cooperation are huge.
They tips shot way up.
Yeah.
As soon as we started Park, Walk, and Talk.
Sure. And you know, it's funny because I'll go out and Park, Walk, and Talk, and I've had people, like, you know, hand me a map and say, "Hey, this is the street. This house right here, the one with the circle on it, they're dealing weed there." And I'm like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yeah." They're like, I know this for a fact. You guys need to look into it." You know, that doesn't happen if you don't get out of the car.
Hey, Ben, look at Will sweating now.
Yeah, if wait a minute, did you say you lived in Old Northeast?
What? That's right.
What?
No.
But you know, if you don't get out of the car, if I drive down that street, I never have that human contact. But, you know, it's also allowed me to have great contact. You know, the Grand Central District, when I first got here, there was a lot of business owners out there that were upset with another business owner and the way they were operating their business. I met Jim and Barbara Lewis, who owned a glass studio out there. Andy Salyard, who owns a barbecue out there. You know, I got to know those people and got to interact with them and talk to them and, you know, really develop what I consider to be professional friendships right now, where I still talk to them and they feel like they can pick up the phone and call me. And that's what it's about.
What's been your toughest assignment as far as policing goes?
Well, I mean, personally, the toughest assignment for me, obviously, was as a manager, was running the jail. You know, here at in St. Pete, you know, I think the toughest thing has been just to you know, figure out what the real needs of the department are. You know, I've been candid. I've talked to Kevin. I've talked to the mayor before. The chief knows I feel this way. I was surprised when I got in here that the police department, you know, for whatever reason in the past, had not been given a lot of the tools they need to do the job. I can tell you that going back to when I was at the sheriff's office, some of the most talented cops that I've ever worked around have been St. Pete police officers. And I told them that when I got here. And so that's been the big challenge.
Who didn't necessarily have the right leadership in place? The officers were always great.
You know, part of that, and part of it was, you know, I don't know what factors played into the resources, but right. You know, it's great. I'll tell you that, you know, I think probably if I had to talk about the thing I'm proudest of is, you know, we started a cold case unit had 200 plus cold cases. We had 100, and I don't want to throw out an exact number, but it was well close to 150 cold cases since 2005. And, you know, every one of those cases to me was a family that still pains for justice, that still has a right to know what happened to their loved one. And I don't care whether their loved one was the victim of domestic violence or their loved one was the victim of random violence, or their loved one maybe was involved in something that brought them close to violence. We owe it to them to ensure that we've done everything possible to deliver justice in the case of their murder. And we just recently, several months ago, announced the arrest and the indictment of a guy named Jacoby Flowers in the disappearance and murder of Morgan Martin, who was a just turned 17-year-old who disappeared 4 years ago. And I met with Morgan's mom. I'm a member of the Florida Missing Persons Advisory Committee in Tallahassee, and met with her mom, and you know, left that meeting absolutely resolved to make sure that we do everything we can for these people. And I think that we went to Missing Persons Day in Tallahassee last year, and I brought my son and all three of my sons with me, and we went up, made a weekend of it, and went to a Noles game. And we, on Monday, my oldest son, who now is at Florida State, we left Tallahassee after they went to Missing Persons Day with me, and we were driving home, and, you know, we had met Morgan's family, and introduced my sons to Morgan's mom, and we're driving home, and my son's in the front seat, the other two are sleeping, he's got his headset on, and I'm driving along, and he smacks me on the arm, and he takes his headset off, and he goes, "Hey, you gonna find out who killed that girl?" And you know, to me, that was, you know, it drove the point home that we had an obligation. And you know, talk about incredibly talented investigators working and thinking outside the box. Detective Jim Culberson, Sergeant Tim Montaneri, Detective Amanda Newton, Investigator Brenda Stevenson. In our cold case unit, Detective Brian Bilbrey, they gathered together with even then Major Paul McQuaid, who was here. He's now at Bradenton as the assistant chief. And they took that case. I read the entire case and then took the file down and told McQuaid, "We're going to solve this. This is solvable." And kind of gave it to them and told them, whatever we need to do, whatever resources we need to devote to this, we need to bring justice to this girl's family. And so I think we've taken the first step. It's a big step in the indictment of this man who we believe there's ample evidence to prove that he murdered this girl. But really the thing for us is we want to find her body. We want to provide her family with the opportunity to give her a proper burial and to pay the respect to her that she should have. She was pregnant at the time with Flowers' baby. Uh-huh. So there, you know, there's a grandchild involved too, but really cold case, and you know, our homicide unit last year had one of the highest closure rates they've ever had. Our property crimes detectives are dealing with, you know, these juveniles that take advantage of people leaving their cars unlocked, lock your cars, and things. You know, they've done a great job. It's great to be around those kind of people.
This wasn't really the happy show we wanted at the end of the year.
Yeah, going right into the Christmas break, right?
Yeah. Well, it's very informative. It is happy because, I mean, you know, the people of St. Pete just have to realize that, you know, they see the guys in the uniforms out there and the cars, but they're one piece of just an incredibly talented group of people, and our detectives are just top-notch. I mean, I've seen just levels of devotion and commitment that are – I've had to chase them out of the office and tell them, you've got to go home and get sleep. Yeah. And that's a good thing. And if I, you know, if the people of St. Pete saw what I saw every day, they'd really understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the police nationwide are under a lot of scrutiny with all the things that have been in the news. So you mentioned the park, walk, and talk. Has there been any other implementations. Really have a grasp of the English language.
With that one.
Good, I'm doing radio for a career. But what else has the St. Pete Police done?
We've embraced a lot of new technology. Kevin talked about the tip system, tip 411. People can text these tips in real time. We've also done a lot to improve our crime analysis capabilities to look at crime in real time. And, you know, the theory used to be that if you had crime in an area, you send as many cops in there as you could and try to arrest as many people as you could and solve crime. But what we really found is that it built a lot of resentment towards the police. And, you know, I used to equate that when I taught to, firing a shotgun in the air and hoping to hit a bird. You know, it throws a bunch of pellets out there and you hit a lot of birds that weren't the one you were looking for, you know. Really what we've done is we've tried to focus on the prolific offenders, the people that small majority, that 2 or 3% of society that commits the vast majority of the crime, and focus our efforts on them. And, I think in doing that, that also improves relations with the community because they know who these people are. They see these people victimizing their neighbors.
And they're probably tired of it, too.
And they're tired of it, too. Yeah. And they want something done.
Sure.
And so we've done that. So I think those are some of the things. There's a lot of things that just, you've seen the uniforms change. You've seen the cars change. You know, sometimes it's good to give cops a physical appearance change because it carries over to their psyche and there comes with it an attitude change. And, I think this has been a great department with great people for many years, but I think, you know, all the things that have happened in the last 2 years have definitely pushed it forward.
This was the rebranding of the police department was a priority of the mayor's before he took office. Taking office gave him the opportunity to do that. And he sort of equated it to the Bucks changing uniforms in the 90s. You know, the Bucks weren't that great. They wore those ugly uniforms. Mm-hmm. St. Pete Police, the officers generally didn't like the light green uniforms.
Yeah.
Kind of seemed out of place.
Apparently the public didn't either because I hear that from the public everywhere. I mean, I'm standing in line at Mazzaro's the other day and this guy grabs me by the back of the shirt and he says, man, those are good looking uniforms. Why'd you guys wear those green? You
know, right. I mean, and apparently it was some 1950s Michigan State fan.
Supposedly the police chief went to Michigan State and he wanted to. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they tell me.
It was important to Mayor Kreisman for the guys to look like big city cops without losing that community feel that they bring.
It just has a great professional look to it.
They look like
that
cops.
Uniform
is
a professional uniform.
And they look good. The department looks awesome. The cruisers look great. The website, the new police department that's coming online, it's a real police department that they've deserved for many years.
Plus black is slimming, so that's always good.
That's right.
It's actually blue. It's a midnight blue color, but it's funny because under fluorescent light it does look like it's a black uniform. I've had people say, is that black or is it blue? And I tell them it's kind of a midnight blue. It's in between. I actually had
a woman
debate that with me one day. She's like, that is not blue. And I'm like, no, it is blue, ma'am.
Well, there are some infrastructure changes. There's going to be a new police station. So how excited
we're psyched
are you about that?
We are psyched about that. You know, that station's old. I remember back when I rode with St. Pete coming in there and booking a prisoner in there. They actually had a jail in there at one time in that station. The plans are moving along. We talked today. I guess we're going to see groundbreaking sometime in the spring.
Yeah.
They've started phase one already. They have to move the radio tower. They're getting ready to move the radio tower. It's going to be exciting, I think, especially for some of these people that have been here a long time. And these detectives, I have detectives that are working in what used to be closets. Two desks, three desks. I have one that I'm thinking of in particular is three desks crammed into what once was a closet, a supply closet. So they're literally on top of each other. And, some people have to share phone lines because there's not lines that reach the area of the office they're in. It's an old building that served its purpose 15 years, 20 years ago. And so this new station is way overdue.
Yeah,
I think it sends a strong message to the police department. And from what I've heard from the citizens out in the community, when I go out and talk to the community, they're very supportive of us getting a new station.
Yeah,
and it's going to become an emergency operations center, which we don't have right now. Our building is not storm rated. We'll have an emergency operations station and center in there. It'll also be redundant communication systems for the county's 911. Currently, we do that. But when we do that, we have to cram more people into a space that's already overcrowded in our communication center. So it's exciting. people should start to see some progress here in the spring, and we look forward to, in, I guess, 2018?
18 will be,
getting open into up. That building and cutting the ribbon.
There's a, I don't know if it's still up, Kevin, you might know, there's a YouTube video. Yolanda Fernandez has given a tour of the current building.
Yeah.
It's one of the maddest I've been since I started. I'm serious. Since I started working
it's,
here.
It's not
he,
right.
He's kind of giving you the high-level stuff. Some of the stuff in that building is abhorrent. Mm-hmm. Nobody should work in that building, least of all police officers. People keeping
there's detectives that work in the basement that, you know, they'll tell you about rodents. Back when they had rodent problems, they'll tell you
it's a mess.
You know, the evidence room is cramped and crowded. The drug room is cramped and crowded. So if you work downstairs, chances are you can smell marijuana because the smell emanates through the basement. There's just a you know, it's time. It's way past time, actually. So we're excited. It's going to be fun. It'll just be neat to walk across the street and walk into a new building, you know, and really, you know, these guys take a lot of pride in what they do. And I got to say that I think having that station and having a professional headquarters building is really just going to seal everything for them. They're going to be able to be proud about everything that says St. Petersburg Police.
Well, we're also seeing for the first time in a long time, a lot of people wanting to come work here. And work for Chief Holloway and work for this command staff, get in that new building. There's guys that have told Chief Holloway, maybe half jokingly, they're going to hold off in retirement just to get in the
just
new building.
Just to get in the building, yeah. I keep telling Chief Williams, he's supposed to retire in January of next year. He's actually termed out there. But I keep telling him, you know, I save space for you over there, you know. But we actually welcome, you know, you talk about that. We welcomed four officers today. One came from Arizona, one grew up in St. Pete and had moved away and returned here to work. One grew up in Miami and was a police officer in North Carolina. She came back here, and I forget where the other one came from, but they all came pre-certified in here today, and they're going to merge into one of our other academy classes. So, you know, Kevin's right. It's good to – when I was at Hillsborough, we were trying to hire St. Pete cops away because they were great cops, with, you know, come from a great department with great training, and we were hiring them. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think last year was the first year that nobody left us to go to another local department. And that's a good measure of how we're doing right now. But we got to keep doing it.
My brother graduated Orlando Police. He left St. Pete, go to Orlando Police Academy. And I remember saying, how come you're not staying here, coming to St. Pete? He says, nobody goes there. And now he's at USF. He's Lieutenant USF Tampa. But, you know, for a while, the reputation wasn't that great. I mean, just candidly, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And things are a lot better.
It's good as an administrator, as an assistant chief, to hear that people want to come work here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell our guys that, you know, you're not the best until other people say you're the best. You can tell people you're the best all day long. You can tell people you're world class all day long. You can put out all kinds of fluff on the internet. Right. You can put out great videos saying how wonderful you are. But until you meet every high standard and people recognize you as the best, you got to keep working to get there. So right now, even though people like what we're doing and they say we're great and we're doing a good job, we got to keep working harder because we can always be better and we can always do things better. And I honestly believe that. I know that the chief believes that and the rest of the staff shares that.
Yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up here, but what is a few things that you would like a citizen to know about the St. Petersburg Police Department that maybe they wouldn't even think about or don't know?
You know, I think the biggest thing that the people out there need to know is that, you know, it's not always apparent, but there's a lot going on to contribute to their safety each and every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It doesn't stop on Christmas. It doesn't stop on New Year's. It doesn't stop when it rains. It doesn't stop when there's a tropical storm. You know, you see the police cars. You know they're out there. But behind the scenes, there's amazing telecommunicators that are dispatching us and sending us and answering their calls for service. There's a civilian support staff that does everything from keep our building, an aged building, clean and working for as long as they have, to people that the civilians that analyze crime and provide us with data and direction on where we need to put our resources. And then the amazing detectives that I lead. And I say that in all sincerity with all my heart, because I'm just it's so great to lead such a dedicated group of people. And I just wish that there was a way we could open a window for everybody to see that every day. So, you know, going into 2017, I live in the city of St. Pete now. I've moved over here since I came over. And there's no place I'd rather live, and there's no other police department I'd rather have protect my wife and my children when I'm not home than the one that I'm privileged to be a part of.
Jim Privatera, everybody, you got your speed round? Not this week?
I don't have a speed round, but I did. I just wanted to say that, you know, Jim served our country as a Secret Service. And to show you how good he was at that job, he leaves in 2005, right? And then
I know where it's
right, going with right, this one. right when he leaves, the vice president has too much to drink and shoots a guy in the face.
I don't know about drinking, but I
we're just telling it like it is on this show. Right when he left, vice president had too much bourbon, probably.
I can honestly say I've never seen him
and shot a man in the face.
It's amazing to see all those people in action and how they react. And I just know that.
Did anyone call you and say, Jim, let me tell you what happened today?
No, I mean, I have heard some of it. But you know what? I've been out there before to the Armstrong Ranch with Vice President Cheney. And, you know, it's a terrible, tragic accident. And fortunately, the guy survived. The Secret Service agents that were there, you know, we had really advanced medical training. I was an EMT. A lot of them were EMTs, so they were able to help him out. But, yeah, that was unfortunate. That was right after I left.
How badly do you think you could beat up Kevin and Ben
at the same time? You know, I don't know about Ben, because the quiet guys always worry me.
That's true.
King, I think I could probably just take with the back of my hand.
I got a bad back.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bad back. Look, he's already laying out the excuses.
No, I can't. I'm a lover.
Here we go. Stay tuned for the next episode.
That's food for the future.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having
happy
me.
Holidays, everybody. Enjoy your time. Enjoy the new year. I guess we'll see you back here beginning 2017.
That's right.
Yeah. Enjoy yourselves. Tune into the Homemade Broadcast 6:15 on Sunday. CityHallBroadcast.net. Keep up with past episodes. See you all next year.
Thanks, Will.
Woohoo.
Thanks, you, Will.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast. An informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall broadcast.